The scripture reading this morning is from the first chapter of John, beginning with verse 43. We'll read the remaining portion of the chapter. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 43. The next day, Jesus wanted to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Could anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here is a genuine Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "How did you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are God's son. You are the king of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. I assure you that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up to heaven and down to earth on the human one." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was a kid, there was a small city park about halfway between my house and the high school. In that park was what seemed like a huge pine tree. I frequently stopped at the tree on my way to or from school and sat beneath the tree limbs, which hung close to the ground. I loved to go to that park when it was snowing and sit hunkered under its limbs until my footprints had been completely covered by the falling snow. It was a place filled with beauty. It was a sanctuary that connected me to creation and to God, undistracted and undisturbed by all else. Although I was watching the snow from the warmth of my home rather than from beneath that tree, my memory took me back there this week, partly because of the snow and partly because of a bit of a sermon I was reading by Paul Flessner as I watched the snow falling outside the window. He was describing not a pine tree in a snowy park, but the fig tree beneath which Nathanael might have sat in today's scripture reading. He had this to say: "The fig tree is about 15 feet tall, and its branches spread out about 25 feet in width, like an umbrella, creating a space that is almost like a private room. If someone wanted to get away from the chaos of a one-room house, he or she would sit under the fig tree. They would sit there to read scripture or to reflect or to pray. Sitting under a fig tree was a sign of seeking and praying for God's living presence." That pine tree is no longer in Spross Park. I know. I've looked for it. The only fig trees I have seen were far from what Flessner described and are not as common in these parts as they were in Galilee. But wherever we find ourselves hunkered down on a cold winter day can become a warm sanctuary beneath the watchful and loving gaze of our God. The only question today is, will we sit patiently in that space, wherever it might be, opening ourselves to the transforming light of God's presence that is aglow in such places? We too need what Nathanael seems to have been seeking: an encounter with the living presence of God, an encounter that will melt the coldness of our day and of our souls and ignite a spark of faith within us. Now, my contemplative curiosity has to wonder what, if any, scripture Nathanael might have sat with under his fig tree. Could it have been the lectionary psalm for today, Psalm 139? "Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and my resting. You're thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me, front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't fathom it. If that happened to be the prayer reflected on by Nathaniel, what might have been his personal engagement with it? It could have been a psalm so familiar to him that the repetition might have dimmed the light of the words of the prayer. Was Nathaniel's curiosity sparked, wondering if or how God could possibly know where he was and what he was thinking at that moment under the fig tree? Did he shake off the fog of meditation and go happily on his way, saying, that kind of knowledge is just too much for me. It's too far above me. I can't fathom it. How about you? From whatever hidden sanctuary you might find yourself in today, what stirs in you with the reading of Psalm 139? Do you wonder if or how God knows where you are and what you're thinking? What if God does examine you? What if God knows you? That is something that offers us the reassurance and peace of God's sheltering watch care. Just to think that God knows you when you feel like you're lost in obscurity and nobody at all cares about you. They may even have told you so. But God sees you. God knows you. Or it could be quite disconcerting. If God has examined me, if God knows me, if God knows where I've been and what I've done, if God knows what I'm thinking, that could mean trouble. What if God does put his hand on me in judgment of what I've done or who I am? Is that why God is watching me? Indeed, it's too much for us. It's so high above us that we can't fathom it. So maybe it's time we say, nah, just shake it off and not go poking around under any more fig trees. But Nathaniel would tell us, too late. Once you go there, once you set in a place of sanctuary and truly seek to have an encounter with the presence of the living God, you can cue the benediction and the postlude. But the encounter with God and what God might have spoken to you isn't over. Not yet. Nathaniel knew the law of Moses and the prophets, and we can assume he was familiar with the Psalms. But he was a victim of his environment, which he seems to have allowed to become a lens through which he interpreted the law and the prophets. With his question, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathaniel inadvertently reveals his prejudice and his bigotry. Judeans look down on all Galileans, but even the Galileans look down on the Nazarenes. Nathaniel looks like and sounds like a skeptic, a doubter, a critic, even though he knew the law of Moses and the prophets and had a propensity to seek an encounter with the living God as he retreated under the fig tree. But along comes Jesus, who sees Nathaniel sitting down and standing up, his traveling and his resting. Jesus was thoroughly familiar with all his ways. Jesus saw in Nathaniel what Nathaniel might not have even been able to see in himself. He knew Nathaniel's deepest thoughts, his truest self, his divine potential. Seeing Nathaniel coming toward him, Jesus said, "Here is a genuine Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Jesus saw no true hate in Nathaniel of his own, only an echo of the hate resounding from the prejudice and bigotry of others. Nathanael himself was a genuine Israelite in the midst of a ruined system. Jesus stood present and ready to snatch him out of that ocean of hate. In short, to redeem him, to transform him. Nathanael seemed shocked. "How do you know me?" Whether or not Nathanael had been reading Psalm 139 under the fig tree, this question might have immediately called the psalm to Jesus' memory, a psalm that opened with the words, "Lord, you have examined me. You know me." I can almost see the twinkle in Jesus' eye. Quickly, he goes on to tell Nathanael that he saw him sitting under that fig tree before Philip called him. Suddenly, Nathanael has an epiphany moment, realizing the true identity of the mysterious stranger standing before him. "You are God's son. You're the king of Israel." By looking at Nathanael's story, how the eyes of his heart were opened to the mystery that was dawning around him, we might be guided toward the understanding of our own epiphany moments. Nathanael's transformation from the skeptic, the doubter, and the critic that he was to the believer he became was not the result of what he had read in the law of Moses and the prophets. It wasn't because of what he heard from Philip. It was when he realized that he was known. He was known for who he was. He was known for his deepest thoughts, for his truest self. He was known for his divine potential. The good news of the gospel is, it isn't just the psalmist or Nathanael who is seen and known by God. God knows each and every one of us too. Even those who feel unseen by everybody else. Even those who are overlooked or misunderstood by everybody else. Even those who aren't even sure who they really are anymore. Here's the thing about sitting under pine trees, fig trees, or any other encounter with a living God. Such sanctuaries are filled with all the power of God and have the potential to shake our perception of our world, our assumptions of who others are, and even the awareness of who we are ourselves. It might not be an epiphany that hits you while you're under your tree, wherever that may be. It might happen as you head back to wherever you came from and begin to encounter the world and your experiences in it with a new understanding that results from having encountered the presence of the living God. On this cold winter's day, let us sit in the warmth of our encounter of worship, seeking, reflecting on, and praying to know the presence of God, the God who sees and knows each and every one of us. Amen.